Chavis Halvavos Shia for Women, Wednesday, Shar HaBitachon, Wednesday, Yud Tes Mar Cheshvan, Tov Shinayin Hay, Shar HaBitachon, Wednesday afternoon. Okay, we're learning Shar HaBitachon and Chavis Halvavos. We're up to the last Perek Zion. V'chivin sheshlamnu b'shar hazeh. We have completed we've completed explaining about Bitachon, defining Bitachon, developing Bitachon. Kefi HaSagoseinu, he writes as much as we're able to. Roy Lono Ato, in this last parak, he does this basically virtually in every single shar. What would spoil the development of Bitachon? What would negate it, what would block it, what would be an obstacle to it? So you know to stay away from that. Because sometimes, you know, you think, okay, I'm going to work on Bitachon, and meanwhile you have things going on in your head, or in your attitude, or in your hashkafa, that is contradictory to Bitachon, or would spoil Bitachon. So that's why this parak is a valuable parak. He saves it to the end because this is negativity, right? This is negative. First, he wants you to understand it and welcome it, understand how true it is. As I always say, bitachon is just a question of relating to reality. And now he says, you know, here are things to stay away from because it's going to harm your development of bitachon. The Omar, and I will say. So first of all, he says, Ki mafsidei shloshes hasha'orim hakodmim b'sefer hazeh kulam mafsidim habitachon. Whatever would be mafsid, yichud Hashem, which is the first shar, bechina, which is the second shar, avodas alokim, which is the third shar, anything that I mentioned there that would spoil your development and understanding of yichud Hashem, your development and understanding of bechina, your development and understanding of Avodas Elokim will spoil Bitachon. This is true in two senses. First of all, the Sefer is constructed like a building. So he could simply mean, but he means deeper than that, but a simple understanding of what he's saying is that it's constructed like a Sefer. So you simply say, well, I'm not going to be able to develop Bitachon unless I have clarity in Yichud Hashem, because then I'm missing the base. And I'm not going to be able to develop Bitachon unless I have clarity and I'm able to perform, so to speak, Bitachon. I'm sorry, Bechina. So I'm missing the first floor. I can't have a third floor without a first floor. And I can't properly develop Bitachon if I don't have a clear understanding of Avodas Elokim. And that's the third floor. So he could simply mean, if you don't have the first three floors, you're not going to have a fourth floor. Or we'll call Yichud not a floor, we'll call Shara Yichud the foundation. So if you don't have the foundation or the first two floors, you can't build the third floor. But so that's an easy way to understand the sentence, whatever spoils the first three will spoil Bitachon, because you don't have anything to build it on. But it's true in a more pragmatic, one-on-one sense. What spoils Yichud? It's more directly related. What spoils Yichud, we would say? Well, he says that what spoils Yichud is the inability to truly believe, and, you know, we all pay lip service to this if we're Jews, but it's really hard to really believe, truly believe, sincerely believe, be really sincerely convinced of, that everything that happens is Hashem's will, which is what he stresses in Yichud Hashem. Well, everything that happens is Hashem, because Hashem and his will is the same thing. That's a philosophical point that we will not go into now, but in a person it's separate. I have me and I have things that I want, things that I want to happen. Hashem has no moving parts. He doesn't even have not moving parts. That's part of Hashem Echad, is that he's unity. He is perfect unity, which means there's no parts to him. It's not like we talk about Hashem not that way. So it's hard to really grasp what it means. We said Hashem said, Hashem got angry, Hashem asked, Hashem answered, Hashem responded, Hashem did. Hashem doesn't. That's already, really, in truth, that's a contradiction to perfect unity. There's no Hashem and what he does. There's no Hashem and his will. That's already parts. Hashem has no parts. Echad means a lot besides one and not two, and one and not multiple gods. But one of the things it means is that he's perfect unity, which means there's no parts. He's not made up of parts. There's no herkev, and that would mean that it's Hashem, his will, what he does. It's all one. Now it's hard for us to grasp that. It may be impossible to grasp it, but it's important to understand it, to realize it, at least to be able to say the words, and to realize that there's something that's beyond our comprehension. But there is a ramification, which is very pragmatic and down to earth, and that is that everything that happens in the world is Hashem's will. That happens to be an important manifestation and ramification of Hashem Echad, because if anything could happen, so to speak, kevayachol, that's already a stira to Hashem's yichud. It means Hashem is not one, because everything that happens is part of Hashem. We are part of Hashem. Events are part of Hashem. If you want to think of it and break it down in order to be able to grasp it, so you say, well, Hashem's will. We can talk about Hashem's will, as long as we realize the philosophical point that Hashem's will and Hashem's chachma and Hashem, it's all the same. But we could say everything is Hashem's will. So if something could theoretically happen and it not being Hashem's will, then that's astira to Hashem Echad. Right? So, Shar HaYichud, where he proves and shows and explains and elaborates on the idea of Hashem Echad, solidifies the idea that everything that happens is Hashem's will. If you're missing Yichud Hashem, if you think things can occur because of nature, things can occur because of mazel, things can occur because that's the way it is, and that's the way it goes, and that's a contradictory to Yichud Hashem. You gotta go back to square one and learn Shar HaYichud and say, no, that can't be. I have to keep in the forefront of my mind that everything that happens is Hashem's will. Everything that happens is Hashem's will. Everything that happens. And then you could start working on bitachon. Without that, how can you have bitachon? Because what might be affecting, what is affecting you and your world might be that thing that's outside kevayachol chas v'shalom of Hashem's purview. So a flaw, F-L-A-W, a flaw in understanding Hashem Echad will have to result in a flaw in bitachon. Because part of bitachon is everything is Hashem's will. Now I could start to have bitachon. I can't start if there's part, oh, that's outside of, okay, so that's that. What's mafsid bechina, the appreciation for bechina, is what he said, feeling entitled to things, not appreciating all the good that Hashem bestows upon us, feeling entitled to it, being used to it, and therefore you don't appreciate it. It's just part of the furniture, part of the landscape. So maybe that includes entitlement also, but it really means more that we don't even think about it anymore, because nobody thought about, I mean, how many of us thought about the miracle of water lately? How what, H2O comes together, the miracle of salt, two poisons come together and they're the most amazing preservative in the world, salt, or anything. There's billions of things that we're just so used to it. So we don't appreciate, and we don't have gratitude. I think that's how that spoils bitachon. Because what does Hashem, one of the great spoilers of bitachon is that, what has Hashem done for me lately? Why should I assume he's going to take care of me? How can I rely on Hashem? He messes me up in so many ways.
And you don't realize that the score, what you call messing up, first of all, but if we would be grateful for every breath we take, if we would be grateful for every miracle of gravity, of everything we have in life, if we would make a list, like in Shaar HaBechina, if we would go through Shaar HaBechina, we would be so grateful to Hashem, it would be ludicrous to think of not relying on Him. Because look what He does for me. It's ilufinum olashira kayom olashenenu minon kamon galov. This is the same as shevach kamechavei rokia veneni beiras chashem esh viareach, etc. etc. Ein anachna maspikim lahodus lachashem alokenu vlokeivu seinu alachas me olaf elfay alof ribe yibavos mamimat tavos shosis malteni mimono. If we would live like that, if we would live with gratitude and with amazement at what Hashem does for us, then we could start to have bitachon. If you don't feel it, then you're like, when is Hashem going to zap me next? How can I rely on Hashem if He messes me up? People don't say it consciously, maybe, but this is what they're thinking, or they're not thinking it consciously, but like, I can't rely on Hashem. I was sick, and how can I rely on Hashem? So we're not sufficiently grateful. So that's why the spoiler of bitachon will spoil, the spoiler of bechina will spoil bitachon. And the third shar, what spoils avodas Hashem, which is our obligation, the link of serving Hashem to gratitude, which is the chavis aldovus, is like major yesod in life, is that avodas Hashem is an offshoot, is a result of Shaar HaBechina, and our obligation to serve Hashem is thank you. So if we're self-centered and we don't feel that way, if we're kofi tov, right, and we don't feel any sense of, if we're so self-centered, then we're not going to be able to have bitachon, because in bitachon we're being moser ourselves really to Hashem. And we're saying, this is not really in my hands, so I'm not going to worry about it because it's not in my control. And, right, you got to learn how to not worry about things that are not in my control. Whatever is in your control is ishtadlus, but that's, I just misspoke purposely to see if anybody would object. Nobody objected. Ishtadlus is not in your control either. Ishtadlus is not in your control. Ishtadlus is an obligation that you have to do. Now you may suffer the consequences of not doing your obligation, just like you suffer the consequences of any obligation that you don't perform. So you're taking a risk. If you don't do Hishtadlus, you will suffer the consequences, because Hishtadlus is an obligation, as the Chavis HaBavlis explains earlier in Shaar HaBitachon, it's an obligation. But otherwise, we don't like the idea of we're not in control. This is one of the hardest hurdles to bitachon, is to feel the powerlessness which bitachon demands. It's not really in my hands. There's not really, I can't affect the outcome. Not really. I'll do what I have to do, but I can't affect the outcome. If I want to affect the outcome, I'll do more mitzvahs. I'll give more tzedakah. I'll do more chesed. I'll pile up the schusim. I'll daven. That's, maybe I can affect the outcome that way. But I'll run around to a different doctor and I'll work more and earn more money, or I'll do things that are beyond the bar of Ishtadlus. It's nothing. So that's why it's hard. So Avodas Hashem is that because of everything Hashem bestows upon us, we're obligated to Him. But if a person is self-centered and self-centric and wants what he wants and is not willing, it's a very scary thing, right? Like, Hashem says, jump off, your voice comes out from Shemayim and says, jump off the building, I'll catch you. I'm not jumping. So Hashem doesn't ask that of us most of the time. Sometimes He does. But we face that 100 times a day in mini jumps, right? Because we have to have bitachon in Him. So we're relying on Him. So there's part of me that has to understand and believe that I'm not in control. I can't control what people say about me. I can't control, and this is so easy because it's reality, because you can't control what people say about you. All that ends up happening is that you start talking about the people that are talking about you. That's all that happens. And then you go around and you end up saying, you know what this person said about me? Meanwhile, you're spreading the news to 100 more people that ever heard of it from that person, because you just told them. Because you're so frantic with worry that you go around telling everybody what that person's saying about you. First of all, that also is usher. And second of all, you're probably spreading the word further than was ever meant. But the it's human. It's very human. And we're asked to be superhuman. And to say, no one, right? One of the mantras of Bitachon is no one can hurt me or help me unless it's Hashem's will. So let him talk. It's not going to affect my life. But it will affect your life. What are you talking? No, it won't. It won't. It won't. Hashem is in charge. If you don't deserve anything to happen to you, you won't get fired. The bad thing won't happen. And if it happens, it's not bad, it's good. Etc., etc., etc. Because Hashem's doing it, not that person.
Don't you control whether you do hishtadlus or not?
Only, I said, because hishtadlus is an obligation and therefore falls under the heading of bechira. Because you are when you're obligated to do something, then you are bocher.
Right. And if you don't do it,
then you have to suffer the consequences. Right. Not always is the consequences
directly related.
Not always, because there's no real link. So that's what you have to think of it. That hishtadlus is a mitzvah, and it's, you know, I admit, and probably the Chayim Yisrael others would admit, that it's the easiest way for Hashem to punish you. The easiest way for Hashem to punish you for not doing hishtadlus is to allow you to suffer the consequences of not doing hishtadlus. But the trap you would fall into is to say, I could have accomplished, and I didn't do it, and that's why it didn't happen. It's no much more complicated than that. It's Hashem didn't let it happen, and sometimes without hishtadlus, it will happen anyway, right? It's Hashem's determining if it's going to happen or not. Sort of the easiest, most midah keneged midah consequence of not doing hishtadlus is to suffer the consequences of not having done the hishtadlus. But it's not intrinsically related. It's Hashem. And again, like, that's sort of the easiest midah keneged midah. He always... Well, there are going to be consequences because you're violating Hashem's will. That's why the Chavis HaLodis' perspective on hishtadlus is very, very important. And I say it constantly. It's not that Hashem decided he's only going to be in charge of 90% and you're going to do hishtadlus and that's going to be 10%. That's chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. Hishtadlus is an obligation. The Chavis HaLodis rationally explains why Hashem did that to us. Why can't we just stay in bed and, right, and, you know, eat rum cordials and read the latest fiction novel and earn parnasa and have everything good and the shatchanim are knocking at my door, which they do if I have a boy. So that's mafsid, avodas elokim. What's mafsid avodas elokim is egos, you know, I'm egocentric. I'm not willing to say I owe this to Hashem. I'm not willing to give myself over to Hashem, which is hard to do. I think the hardest thing in the world, because we have egos, because we have a sense of self, and because we have the illusion of control in the world that exists out there, it's the hardest thing in the world is to say this is all an illusion. Hashem is running the world. Hashem is doing everything. It is hard. You know, we're not sitting here making jokes, and it's not a piece of cake. It takes a lot of work. But the work is, and this is what people ignore, not people here, chas v'shalom, but what people ignore is that you have to work on bitachon. And you, again, you can take the prokim, perek aleph, bez, gimel, dalet, hey. It's five prokim, because the sixth is that segue about Bale Mashkonos. So you take the first, and first shouldn't count because it's six lines. Really, the crux of, and three is basically a repetition of two, just applied to Hashem. But that's a lot of work. Perek Beis is a lot of work. Perek Gimel is shifting it to Hashem. And the other four prerequisites to having bitachon, each one is a lot of work. Take years. Each one could take years. The realization that Hashem is in control of everything could take years. Right? And then four is really already application, practice. And five is how to see the difference, how to test yourself. How to test yourself if you're having bitachon or not. That's really Perek 5. So really it boils down to Perek 2 and 3. That is where the development of bitachon lies in terms of work. In terms of work. 4 is application. 2 and 3 is the essence of development. But it's years. Anyway, so that's this sentence, that whatever ruins the first three, anything of the first three sha'arim is going to ruin your bitachon as well. Umimafsid of old. Now he continues and he gives things specifically for bitachon. Hasichlus be'inyan habore uvimidos of hatovos. Not realizing, sichlus is foolishness. Lack of knowledge, and this is a huge problem. Lack of knowledge, lack of realization of Hashem's rachamim, of Hashem's goodness, and that Hashem is a meitiv. It's hard, but that will ruin bitachon, because how can I, and that's one of the seven things in the second parak, how can I rely on someone that doesn't have my best interests at heart? But as the Chavis HaLava says earlier in the Sha'ar, and it's a wonderful sentence to always remember, Hashem loves me more than I love myself. Hashem loves me more than anyone else loves me, and Hashem loves me more than I love myself. He only wants what's best for me, and He knows what's best for me, and nothing will happen that's not best for me, so I can rely on Him. Now the way I see it, it's best for me to be able to get to Yerushalayim by 4 o'clock. But I don't really know that it is. Right, so I'm relying on Hashem to get me there by 4 o'clock, because in my world that's what's best for me, and I'm relying on Hashem because He's going to do what's best for me. If I don't get there by 4 o'clock, then I shrug my shoulders and I say, well, I guess it wasn't what's best for me. But the point is, it's up to Hashem. And that is easy. That's an easy example. That was a bad example, because it's really not up to you, because there could be traffic and there could be 101 things happening on the road that are taka not up to you. But here we come again, full circle. Nothing is up to us. So really, it's just a question of, as I always say, getting in touch with reality, because nothing, you know, we don't control anything. So a mafsid of bitachon, the first one that he speaks out in Shara bitachon, what would be mafsid, what would spoil or ruin your bitachon, is not realizing Hashem's goodness. And I won't say Hashem's essential goodness, because that sounds like I'm trying to make excuses for Him. Hashem's total goodness. Ki mi she'eino meivin rachmei habori al bruav, whoever doesn't get that rachemov al bonim, that Hashem has rachmonos on us, cares about us, feels kindly towards us, wants what's best for us, etc. Vanhagoso aleihem, and that He's manhig our lives that way, b'hashgachoso, and his caring about every prat uprat, He doesn't overlook anything, u'moshlo bohem, and that He controls it, He's not just a nice bystander that's interested in it, but He controls it, He controls that what's best should happen to us, v'shehem, and again, you know, we don't, you have to believe this and understand it, and maybe Hashem wants me to work on my patience, and maybe He wants me to work on my davening, and maybe He wants me to work on my emunah, and maybe He wants me to work on my bitachon, and maybe He wants me to work on my midas ha'atzlus, and maybe laziness, and maybe he wants me to work on my midas hakas, and I get angry, and maybe he wants me to work on my midas yiush, that I tend to get depressed and give up hope. This is Hashem's trying to build me up. That's how you look at problems. That Hashem wants to build me up, and thank you, Hashem, and this is what I'm going to work on. I'm not going to let this get me down. But that's already different things you can think of, why it's Latova. But he says, how can you rely on someone that doesn't have your best interests at heart? Like, you can't. So he's saying you really have to work on believing, understanding, accepting, internalizing that Hashem has your best interests at heart. Hashem cares about you more than you care about yourself, and only wants what's best for you. Umo shel alayim, and Hashem controls everything that happens to you. V'shehem kshurim ba'asurav, all the events of the world, he's getting poetic here, are tied up in his chains, meaning he controls them all. Or if you want to think of the chains as strings, so everything's a puppet, and Hashem is the meister that's making the puppets dance. If you don't understand that, obviously lo yanuach libo v'lo yismoch aleihem, you're not going to be calm, which is the essence of bitachon, being calm, unworried, not anxious. How can you rely on Hashem? How can you rely on someone that doesn't have your best interest at heart? It's not possible. So this is the bigger one. This is a matzah of bitachon. You're not going to be able to develop bitachon unless you can wrap your head around the idea that Hashem wants what's best for you, and Hashem controls everything, so He will make sure that what's best for you happens to you. So you rely on Him. Okay, that's number one, we'll call it. The first three, well, whatever's mafsid yichud, and whatever's mafsid bechina, and whatever's mafsid shar avodus elokim, and whatever's mafsid avodus elokim. Now we're starting a list of our own here for bitachon. So number one is not realizing Hashem's goodness, Hashem's rachamim on us. Umehem, number two, this is he says you don't realize that it's a mitzvah to have bitachon, meaning you don't realize it's an obligation. He's not worried about the mitzvahs now in 613. He wants you to understand it's an obligation. It's something that's mafsid it. What is he talking about? Because a person could decide this is too hard, and I'll go through life without it. So I'll be worried. I'll be stressed. I'm still going to daven to Hashem because I want Him to do good things for me. So I'm going to daven, and I'm going to do mitzvahs. But so I don't have bitachon, So he says, you'll never get bitachon that way. You have to realize that it's obligatory, because it really defines, if the Chavis HaLolis puts it, right, after Avodas Elokim, and if you remember, he says, in the very, very first sentence of Shar HaBitachon, he says, it's the most necessary midah to be an Oved Hashem. You can't move without bitachon. And, and then he explains why, and then he goes through the benefits of bitachon. This is all in the psicha to the Shar. But here he's saying that number two in this particular list of bitachon, spoilers, is not realizing that it's a mitzvah, meaning an obligation. It's not optional. It's not extra credit. I need to have bitachon in Hashem. I'm obligated to, so I have to work on it. It's not optional. I can't decide what kind of a life am I going to have, a life with bitachon, a life without bitachon, a life of anger, or a life of calmness, a life of pessimism, or a life of optimism. You're obligated to do it. It's not up to you. It's an obligation. Because it defines your whole relationship with Hashem. It defines your understanding of what Hashem is. It would be a contradiction to say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, but I don't have bitachon. I mean, it's not a contradiction. It's a contradiction at the end of the day. If you have to work on bitachon, and we all do because it's hard, so good then. It's not a contradiction. You're working on it. You're trying to get there. You're climbing up the ladder. So you're going to get there someday. Maybe you won't get there. We don't know, but you're going to work on it, and you're always working on it. Umayam, but this is, it's really, I think it's an amazing point that he counts as a spoiler of bitachon the lack of realization that it's an obligation. That is number two. The first spoiler was the lack of understanding of Hashem's goodness. Spoiler number two is the lack of realization that it's obligatory. So I assume, because then you don't put the efforts into it, that you should, because it's extra credit. So. Umeyem sechluso b'mitzvah sabori yisbarach ritzoni lomar, I mean to say Torah so, asher hizir balis mochalav, Hashem told us and warned us and commanded us to rely on him, l'vtoach bo, k'mo shekosuv, he gives an example, u'v'chanuni no bezos, to give tztaka or meiser, and Hashem will give you what you need, for omar bitchu v'Hashem adayad, this is a lashon of a command, bitchu v'Hashem adayad. Rabbeinu Yonah Graden Shari Tshuva says that the lav in Milchoma, where it says lo siro mehem, don't be afraid of them, of the opposing army, is bitachon based. That's bitachon. That's where the Torah talks about bitachon, because none of the psukim that the Chavis HaLovis brings down is in the Torah. It's in the Vim. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that the mitzvah's bitachon is manifested in the Torah as a lav of lotira mehem. You go to war, you're relying on Hashem. So you're not going to be afraid. You're not going to be stressed. How do you not be afraid? Because I'm relying on Hashem to keep me alive. That's all. And if he doesn't want to, he won't. And there's nothing I can do to stop him from not keeping me alive if he doesn't want to. Right? These are all the bitachon thoughts you're going to have. So that's number two. I think it's amazing that the lack of realization that it's not a midos chasidus, it's not a maila, it's not an inyan, it's an obligation. Number three, umehem. Number three is human nature. When I look out and I see, you know, there's no milk in the store. Why isn't there milk in the store? Because the delivery truck had a flat tire. That's all. I'm finished with my search for the reason there's no milk in the store. Because the truck had a flat tire. Why did I fail? Because I messed up the interview. Why did I get sick? Because of this and because of that. We look at things that are not really the sibos. They're just tools in the hands of Hashem. So how can you develop the talkon if you say, well, I'm going to rely on Hashem to get me the job, but, you know, it's in my hands. I'm either going to get it or I'm not going to get it. Umeham, the toso el asibos akrovos. He calls them the sibos akrovos because we don't see Hashem in front of us. So what do we see causing illness? What do we see causing anything happening in the world? We see the immediate cause. This is what I always say is the evil of newspapers. That the cause of this is that, and they give you very mundane, that they give you the causes that people see. People see with their eyes and ears and senses, things that are tangible. That's how the human mind works. This is a problem. This is why it's so hard. But that's the spoiler of Bitachon, is Natoso al Asiba Hakrovos, him believing in the Siba Hakrovos. What we see is the immediate cause. Asher hu roe osan, v'lo yodaya, v'lo yoda, v'lo yeda, ki ha'ilos, when it comes to chain of cause and effect, kol asher tikravna mehama olel, the closer it is to what happens, and he's going to give a beautiful example for this, the closer the immediate, what seems like the cause, is to the effect, the least of the hashpah it has to determine the effect. He's going to explain. Well, he's giving an example in nature, in everyday life. In other words, I'll just jump ahead. He's going to say something like, okay, why is there no milk in the makolas? So I think, oh, because the guy had a flat tire, so he couldn't deliver the milk. So why is there no milk? Because he had a flat tire. Now, the person with the flat tire had the least control over the milk being delivered because of the flat tire.
It's the person that you go back a little, right? The person that's supposed to check out the vehicle to make sure the tire is in good condition. He could have say, "Oh, he could have controlled it." Then you see, you keep going back until you get to Hashem. Well, no. His point now is not Hashem. He gives an, you know, let's run his example. That's going to be the best, and you'll see. And we'll try to give other examples. The closer it is to the, when you have cause and effect, he's claiming, the closer the cause is to the effect in terms of immediacy, the least in control it is. Tonight, yachot on the ho'il ma'olelu la'aziko, v'chol asher terchakna, as you go back and you want to get to the root cause, you want to get to the real cause, you want to say, okay, what causes the cause? And what causes the cause of the cause? Right? The further back you go in the chain of events, they could have affected the result more. They control more. Let's go to his example. Kamo HaMelech. Okay, the Melech wants to punish somebody. So the Melech doesn't go to the guy's house and punish him. He wants to punish, torture, punish. So he gives orders. So he gives it over to the second Mishnah HaMelech. Hasar, he goes, let's say, to the governor of the city, and he tells him to take care of this. Hatsar mitzava hashoter, the governor calls up the police station and tells the police to arrest the guy or to hit the guy or to beat him up. Vashoter mitzava l'sadadyo, the guy, the captain of the police station takes the call. He gives it over him. Vasadadyo mitzava hanoksim. And they go and they hit the guy, let's say, with their sticks. So who has the least power to affect what's happening? Is the stick. Now the stick is the most immediate cause. What's hurting the guy? The stick. The stick has the least say whether or not it's going to hit the guy. And as you go back of what's the cause of the cause and what's the cause of the cause of the cause, then there's, again, he's not talking about Hashem now. He wants us to picture the way the world works. The more you go back and get to the root cause, the more control there is. You know, who has the most control to say, forget it, don't punish him, is the Melech, all the way back. Right? The governor, he has a little more control. If he feels it's appropriate, he could say, let's let the guy off, I'll explain to the Melech what happened. The captain of the police station, maybe he can delay it for a week or two, but he's not going to be able to get out of it. The policeman himself, who has to carry it out, he can push it off a few hours. The stick, no say at all in the matter. And that's what he said, this is the way the world works. And we have to realize, and that's what spoils bitachon. Because we look at the stick. I lost my job, see again, in a stick it's funny and we all see it. But I say, I lost my job because my boss fired me. He's just a stick. He's just a stick. He had the least control if he's going to fire me or not, because he's hitting me. So, as you go back, until you get to Hashem. Then in Bitochen, you get to Hashem. But what spoils Bitochen is that we tend to see cause and effect in terms of immediacy, in terms of the closest we see it. Right? I lost the money because the person stole from me. That's what I see. That's the closest. But he's, right? But really, he's a tool in the hands of Hashem. So he stole from me because he needed money. So why did he need money, right? And you keep going back and back until you get to Hashem. You inevitably end up by Hashem. So that's what he's saying. That's the spoiler of Bitachon, is the fact that we attribute the effect to the closest cause, when really it's the opposite. In the world, the closest cause is least able to decide whether or not the effect will happen or not. Less ability, lahoil, lamaolel, ulahaziko, or not. The further back you go, yekoach yecholton, lahoil, ulahaziko, yosor chazak v'nirik. Mohamelach shirot alanos,
to punish echad me'avodu mitzava mishneu lasos v'amishna mitzava hasar v'asar mitzava hashoter v'hashota mitzava l'sradiot v'asradiot mitzava hanokshim v'anokshim v'anokshim v'kaimim ha'maisu v'kele buchonim lo the stick v'ashe yichotam u'uto mikulam l'hokel mitzara who has the least ability to give less makos or more makos u'loz v'aleim heim ha'kelem is the stick v'ashayim lahem. They have no will, they have no das. Banoksim, the people wielding the stick, Yosi Yecholim Mehakelim, you know, they can push it off by 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, so that, but they can't commute the sentence. V'chein Hasrad Yot Yosim Mehanoksim, V'ashota Yosim Mehasajat Yot, he'll push it off, right? V'asar Yosim Mehashoter, V'amishna Yosim Mehasar, V'amelach Yosim Mehkulot, and they shemir Tzayim Cholo. If you think about things in life, you'll see ki chalisha sa'ilos v'cheskoson, the weakness of the causes or their strength lahoil ma'olel to yes or no tiyena kifi kervoson v'richa kon mehen in a way that's counterintuitive. The further back you go, the more that person had the ability to affect what's happening today. That's why more people vote in America. I don't know about Israel. More people vote in presidential elections than mayoral elections. The closer you get to home, the less people vote. I don't know if it's right or not. I don't know if this rule of the Chesed applies or not. But people say, the president affects my life the most. The mayor, meh. Yeah, okay, you know, he's good for collecting the garbage. Now, it could be it's the other way around. The mayor affects your life the most because the president doesn't really do things that affect your life. But Al Kaponim, that's what he's saying, that ironically, it's counterintuitive, but the person least able to decide if there's going to be milk in the store, actually, the person least able to be milk in the store is the guy that unloads the truck and brings it into the store, or the guy that packs the shelves. He's the least able. He's just packing the shelf. The guy that takes it off the truck, well, you know, he could put it somewhere and it gets lost and no one knows where it is. The guy that drove the truck, he can affect it more. And so on and so forth. But that spoils bitachon, because the reason we don't attribute what we should to Hashem is because we don't see him. We don't see him as the closest. Because Hashem uses all these channels to effect his gezeirah, to effect his will. He uses all these things that we say are true, but not true. It's true that that's why there's no milk in the store, but it's not true that they are the objective reason. They are just tools in the hands of Hashem. Hashem is deciding everything, and he's using these tools. V'abori yisav l'asher hu tachlis or ilus berochuk manam olalam. He's the furthest away, because everything is a ripple effect of Hashem's will. And Hashem works through channels. Hashem doesn't snap his fingers and milk appears on the desk, on the shelf. He doesn't work like that. There's a long chain of things. You can write a book describing, because you got to start from when the cow was eating the grass. And you got to start from when the grass was growing. You have to go very far back to get to the milk on the shelf in the store. You have to go back to the growing of the grass, and then you have to go back to the farmer who planted the grass, right? Then the cow's eating the grass, and then magically it somehow changes into milk, which no one has yet built a machine that can do that. And then someone had to milk the cow, right? It's a long, because that's how Hashem works. As the Kodesh Lovel says back in Perek Dalid, he says, ever since Sheshis Yimei Breshis, Hashem works through channels. Nothing is Vayom Elokim Yihor Vayihor Vayom Elokim Tachi Eretz Deshe. Boom, boom, boom. Doesn't happen anymore. It's only in those 6 days it happened. Roy, but really the person who's controlling and deciding is Hashem. So you're going to rely on Hashem. But what's going to spoil our reliance on Hashem is because we don't see him as the cause. We see the truck driver as the cause. We see the guy packing the shelves as the cause. You go into the store, there's no milk on the shelf. You go over and you start screaming at the guy that packs the shelves. You say, where's my milk? Okay. Well.